Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Let us pray together. Lord, I'm excited to see the beginning of a new school year. With all the challenges that we faced and endured to get here today, you have shown yourself mighty and strong once again. We ask that you bless this school year, bless the administration, the faculty, the staff, and yes, our students. We especially ask, Father, that you keep us safe and healthy in this season. Now, Lord, anoint our president afresh as he gives us what you have given him. May this message set the tenor and tone for this school year. We recognize your hand at work in all of our lives. In the matchless, powerful name of Jesus the Christ, we commit this school year to you. Amen.
Good morning, I'm Dr. James Lanfer, your provost, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to convocation for the 2020-21 academic year. It's been so great to have students back on campus. The last few months have been a unique confluence of events as we've dealt with a global pandemic, economic hardship, and social unrest in relation to injustice. I think it's actually because of all those things that we're happier than ever to see you back on campus. Convocation is an ancient tradition in which an academic institution takes time to dedicate its academic mission to God at the beginning of the year. It's also a chance for us to hear from our president and to let him set the tone for us for the year. As always, at CIU, our ultimate purpose is to glorify God as we educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. And today, as faculty, staff, and students, we want to recognize that purpose and dedicate ourselves to it. I want to again welcome those who are new to CIU. You've had orientation, you've had some fun events, and classes have started. And I'm hopeful that many people have welcomed you to campus. But one last time, if you're new to CIU as a student this year, please stand and let us greet you one more time. I think you are by far the best looking group we've ever had come to CIU. But you're masked, so I can't tell. Just as new students come to us as well, new faculty and staff members join us. So I'd like to ask, and we're usually all up here as faculty, but if you're a new faculty or staff member, why don't you stand as well? We'd like to greet you at CIU as well, up in the balcony. We welcome you all here, and we hope that you feel like you're becoming part of the family at CIU. Now, please turn your attention to the screen for a chance to see what God's been doing at CIU in the last year.
Quite a year of accomplishment, even amidst COVID, right? Good job. Give yourself a hand again. John Hunter James, are you here? Stand up, stand up. Our first ever national champion winner right here. Congratulations. If I tried to use that pole, it would break. So I'm impressed, so great job. Let me thank all of you for choosing CIU, and let me thank you for being so great at wearing masks. No one likes to do it. I understand that. I hate it. You hate it. But if it will cut down on any spread of COVID and allow us to be here this year, I am so willing to do it for you and you for us. And so thank you. Someone said to me, we've not had one person give us a problem over the mask. And that says something about your generation. Thank you. Thank you for that. Due to the cancer that I had last year, I am being very careful. So if I don't come up and get close to you, my doctor has said to me, if I get COVID, I will die. And that was that blunt. And so I am being a little careful. But know I love you, and I am really praying for you. And I will try to greet you as much as possible. This morning, I wanted to talk to you. And in this first chapel, I wanted to announce a theme for this year. Go deep with God. CIU and your journey are about to collide. You're about to embark on the greatest journey of love and investment by a faculty and staff and administration, something like you've never experienced before. People are going to pour into you their lives so that you can become the person that God wants you and created you to be. We are blessed that you've chosen CIU, and we don't take that lightly. And I can say to you, this faculty, I've watched them the last 3 years, now starting my fourth year. They will take you deep if you will open your minds. Dr. Andre Rogers reminded me, as I let him review my notes this morning and give input on them, that you don't know who I am as a university president. So he said, Prez, take a moment and just introduce yourself to the people. I do understand that I'm going to go over the allotted time this morning, but what I have to say, I've spent the entire summer developing with Dr. Rogers, with others researching. Scott up in the CIU theology graduate program has helped me, others have assisted me. So I'm gonna take my time and say what needs to be said this morning. But as you get to know me, I want you to know as a young schoolboy, I was so poor. I lived in Appalachia that I had to use free and reduced lunch. I wore hand-me-down clothes. I rarely had any new clothes. We shopped at every discount store we could find. My granny, who was one who always worked so hard for our family, as well as my dad and mom, would say, we may be poor, but we will be clean. So every year, she would get some homemade soap from pig fat, lard. If you don't know, that's called lye soap. Put some lye in it, and she would scrub us clean every day. During my high school, junior, and senior years, I finally found that I wanted to help out the family, so I got a job and left school early in the last period of the day as a junior and senior and worked at a company to help our family make a living. Some little things that you might want to know about me. I lifted weights when I was in high school and early in college and enjoyed that immensely. I loved basketball and football and baseball and loved playing those sports. And for you basketballers out there, not long ago I went home and my boys challenged me, and with my suit coat on, they said, Dad, you still can't play. They've never seen me play because of some things that have happened in my life. I got out of the car and I hit 47 straight free throws. I challenge you to do that, basketballers. If anyone can beat that record, you come and let me know. I might have a prize for you, okay? But it has to be 47 straight. No misses, okay? Fortunately, my dad made me work in the summers at the sawmills. I would work 16-hour days and absolutely the dirtiest, grimiest, hardest work a man could do, lifting logging boards as they would be cut by the sawmillers. I hated it. It was absolutely excruciating, painful work, and I would go home so tired and have to get up the next day and do 16 more hours. Fortunately, I made enough money in those summers and in my junior and senior year till I said, I'm going to college. Work in the sawmill 2 summers, you'll go to college. So I started paying my way through college, just as many of you are doing, and I accepted all the financial aid that I could get. While pursuing my degree, my professors and administrators at the college would walk up to me and say, "Mark, you have some leadership and administrative gifts." I didn't even really realize that. Yet they saw that in me, just as your faculty will, and began to develop me. I found in my senior year of college that I was elected student government president. Then God began to work in my president at the college, and he walked up to me and said, "Mark, I think you should really dedicate your life, I see administrative skills, to being a Christian college president." I went to my room that night, I got on my knees and prayed, and I wrote down some goals, 19 years old. By 22, I'll have my bachelor's. By 25, I'll have my master's. By 30, I'll have my doctorate. By 35, I will have written my first book. By 40, if God allows, I will be prepared to be a college president. And at 39, I was named a college president. Dr. Robert Whitaker put those first thoughts, my college president, in me. And you will see that happening on this campus. I've done it to several who I've walked up to and said, "You have the administrative skills. You have the giftedness. And your faculty will do likewise to challenge you to do things for God." The mentoring checks by my president, I will never forget. And the faculty poured into me. College life was great and got even better when I found my wife on campus. And some of you came for that reason. Some of you hope you get as lucky as I did. 34 years of being married to Mrs. Smith. Stand up. I might add, there's no better place than a Christian college campus to find your spouse. Probably many of your faculty did likewise. And by the way, you think the faculty and the staff and God shaped me while I was in college? Whoa, that's nothing to what Mrs. Smith has done to shape me over the last 34 years. So far, the Dr. Smith story sounds pretty cool and easy, right? But you need to know the rest of the story. Perhaps not so much because the story of being a great story, but because of the struggle. At 30 years old, I was in a head-on car accident. That car wreck almost took my life as I battled for the first 30 days, literally, after being cut out of that car, the car trapped in around me, I battled for my life, and for 1 year almost, I did not walk. I had to go to therapy 3 hours a day. Remember all that weightlifting that I did? Well, thank God in my upper body, that's what allowed me to get strong enough until my lower body, and every day 3 hours of weightlifting again and training brought me back to where I'm able to walk, and I give God all the glory for that. Did I say the struggle's real? Over our lifetime, Mrs. Smith and I have endured several things. And last year I was diagnosed with cancer and they removed my kidney. Here at CIU, my family loved me like no one could. It was awesome. I've learned I'm a weak, dependent man on God who has a deep desire to go deep with God. And these struggles have brought me to today having the wonderful opportunity of serving as your president. Okay, enough about me. What's this go deep stuff you're talking about, Dr. Smith? I was at a Cleveland Cavaliers game when LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers won it all. I was at a playoff tournament game, a rare thing if you ever get to go. They handed out shirts to us that said "All In" that night as LeBron and the team led to a victorious championship for the first time for Cleveland in many, many, many years, if ever. I learned from that experience in listening to LeBron that it takes everything everything to win. I learned I had to be all in. And so this year, I want to challenge you to be all in for God. And I've selected a passage that I have over the summer researched and studied with numerous individuals to give you a few things that I think are important in this year as we go all in. In Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 2, there was a certain man in Caesarea, Cornelius by name, a centurion from the cohort called the Italian cohort, a devout God-fearer along with his whole household, doing many charitable deeds for the people and praying to God at all times. And I want to look at the life of Cornelius as I think it's very appropriate to today and the world that we live in. I want to notice five characteristics of Cornelius. First of all, he was a centurion. As a Roman soldier, that meant he was a disciplined and faithful man. He gave it all. He was all in. I will never forget when I first started being a college president, James walking in, not LeBron James, but James walking in to our college campus, a 6'9 basketball center. He quickly became one of my favorites because I liked basketball. He came to play basketball and he told me that. But I walked up to him and I said, James, I want you all in. I want you to open yourself to learning. He worked so hard that as a freshman, he needed to add about 30 or 40 pounds. He was so skinny. He needed some muscle on him in order to be able to play basketball. And by his senior year, he was all tournament and all conference. He led our team right to the verge of a national championship. But James, in his 4 years, also diligently applied himself. He was focused and disciplined, and he today is a financial consultant up near Cleveland, Ohio, with a company and rising through the ranks quickly. James and I stay in contact. He's one of the alums that I love, and he knows that, and I have invested in. And I'm so proud of the devout or the disciplined life that he had. Students, as a centurion, Cornelius was a disciplined man. Centurions were disciplined. I don't know how many of you saw the John Lewis funeral. Incidentally, a man who I had the privilege to meet, and I wanted a picture because of the historic things that John Lewis did. But in that service, one honor guard collapsed in the heat. All the other guards never went over and did anything to help him. They waited on other trained professionals. They stayed focused on what they were to do, guard the casket of John Lewis. They were disciplined and did what was right. This is a great characteristic that every one of you will have if you're going to be impactful on society. The characteristic of discipline as a centurion was. The second element of Cornelius, the scripture tells us, was he was devout. This adjective comes from a Greek word that connotes that centurions had qualities that demonstrated in their lives a greatness about themselves. It also, in the scripture, specifically applies to Cornelius being a devout Christian man. He gave God everything. He was all in with God. His entire life was all about God. The third description of Cornelius is he was a God-fearer. If you look at this in the original language, it comes from the word paterfamilias, and that meant that he trained his whole household to be God-fearers. He did his part to encourage those who had influence in their lives, and he worshiped with his family regularly. Students, I would say to you, as you come here, you are at a Christian university. And one of the things that we will instill in you is this important thing of worshiping God and knowing God. Fourthly, the element of Cornelius was he was charitable. Now, just any person wouldn't be mentioned in the scriptures. So when you see this passage, you knew there had to be a reason. And as a Roman government official, he was paid well. But his willingness to be generous exceeded everything else the normal person did. He gave to many and was known for his charitable deeds, Luke tells us. He had a habit of giving to others. That's how I've asked God to help my life to be known. Students, today, there are many around us who are hurting. May we share with each other and give to each other. And fifthly, Luke describes Cornelius as having an ongoing prayer life. Luke probably lists prayer last as a way of connecting all the other attributes. Just as he uses the label centurion to introduce Cornelius' personality, his discipline, and his duty, he closes with prayer to demonstrate the vertical and the horizontal nature of Cornelius' worship. Cornelius devoted his life to God and expressed his worship through evangelism to his household and giving to others and in deep prayer. Students, today, as we go deep with God, my desire is that you know Him. Knowing God does not happen automatically. To know God, you will first need to understand two things as you start the school year. Number one, we all have a sin problem. Romans 3:23 tells us, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin came into the world as a part of the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. In order to go deep, we need a relationship with God to be restored. And God has made that possible when He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. I heard, as we had Fellowship for Christian Athletes, that 20 of you rededicated your life to Christ. I thank God for that. The word is clear that you must have this right relationship. In fact, we were reminded of 1 John 3:8, which says this, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning." Then in verse 9, "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin." In addition, 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Wrongdoers shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Do not be deceived, neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. And if I was writing the scripture, I would add this. Today, what we are experiencing in our world and in America, sin causes racism. And we denounce sin and we denounce racism. I hate the devil. The devil is out to destroy your lives. And I don't hate anyone, but I hate the devil. So the remedy for sin is this, that God sent His Son for you. And I ask you, every one of you, right from this first day, to start a relationship with God, to go deep with Him. And if you need to recommit your lives to God, please do so. Secondly, we need to understand we have a self problem. 2 Timothy 3:1-2 says this, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. We live in the last days." Part of leaving home and coming to college, you will start growing up. It's the very difficult fact of finding out that we're selfish. We hate to admit it, but we really are. So we must allow the Word of God and the cleansing of the Holy Spirit to show us the areas where we are selfish as we go through this journey over the next few years here at CIU and even afterwards. As I battled cancer throughout this last year, God revealed to me self. And some of it was not beautiful. And I had to go to my knees and say, God, teach me and show me myself and cleanse my heart and make me like you and help me to go deep. Secondly, though, I noticed that Cornelius not only had a walk with God, he had a work with others. Now, I want you to wake up and I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say some things that I don't want you to misunderstand, and I want you to hear me. I am going to give you a biblical solution to today's problems. To go deep with God, we must understand that relationships matter not only with God, but with each other. Acts 10 and 11 is where I will take my remarks from, along with a few other scriptures. Peter opened his mouth and said, of truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God shows no partiality among brothers and sisters. There is no partiality with God. We live in a society that is about me and my rights. I. Many times it is framed under the auspices that I have been wronged. As far as I can determine in Scripture, the kingdom of heaven is not about me and my rights. Jesus was abused, spat upon, struck in his side with a spear, and ultimately nailed to a cross, and was treated worse than any of us ever have been, and he did not strike back, he did not lead a protest, he did not call out, he did not rise up and destroy anyone, he humbled himself to the death of a cross. That's the Bible. So as you can see, the gospel is about the preaching of peace through Jesus Christ. It is not about me and my rights. If you are a deep person in Christ, you begin to understand this. If you are immature in your walk with Christ, you will not know what I'm talking about, but you can. I have a question for you. Have you been offended recently? See, I believe that as we go deep with God, we try neither to offend nor be offended. This is supported by 13:5. Love behaves well and is not easily offended. Friends, if you're getting offended every time someone says something negative about you or your family or your situation, you need to go deep. If you are offended by someone else's opinion, you need to go deep. If you love God deeply, you will not have relationship issues easily. And if you love your brother or sister, love your brother or sister deeply, you will not look at all their faults. That's scriptural. Neither will you try to offend. And with all that is within me, at CIU, I want you to hear us this year. We denounce any form of racism at CIU. My son, you do not know. Mrs. Smith and I were not able to have children, so we started the process of adoption. My son is Guatemalan. He's 16. I've been warned over and over, get ready in Columbia, South Carolina, because Hispanics will go through major, major issues. We have already seen some of it. He has been called many names. Guac, Greeny, you name it, he's been called it. He laughs about it. I said to him, do you want Dad to do something? No, Dad. I'm okay. I'm like, wow, teach us, man. 16, teach us. Two of his best friends recently called him guacamole. Let me say something to you. Being easily offended is not of God. We as Christians learn to love each other. This summer, I denounced the horrible acts associated with George Floyd and others. and I met with our mayor, Steve Benjamin. Dr. Andre set up meetings with other officials here in Columbia. And here's what I want us to adopt this year. I want us to adopt this phrase. We want to listen and learn so we can love and lead well. Let's listen and learn so we can love and lead well. I commit to you as president to do so. After 34 years of being married, I've had a few times that I've offended Mrs. Smith. She never has me. I recently asked her, I said, Mrs. Smith, why, honey, am I the one that always has to say I'm sorry? And she looked at me and said, that's easy, honey, because you're the one that's always wrong. I think I was right once or two times, but we'll not start anything because I'm flying to Pennsylvania tonight. So I love you, honey, okay? Seriously, I want you to be introduced to someone who has impacted my life as much on this area of offense and how we are to act as anyone this summer. I have reread Reverend Margot Wright Williams, a CIU graduate who wrote an outstanding book in 2020, copyrighted, on petty pain. Margot, we welcome you this morning. We're glad you're here. Thank you. Thank you for impacting me. I've given the book out many times. I'm going to make you a millionaire if I keep giving this book out. So, and your husband says thanks, right? Listen to her words. Far too many times I've been grieved as I've listened and watched pettiness between relatives, friends, and coworkers. Pain and offense is going to happen. It will happen. She also reminds us, friends, Jesus foretold us that the increase of offense is one of the signs of the last days, a prophetic warning for us. Matthew 24:10 says, many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another, even kill one another. To go deep with God this year, students, I'm calling CIU to be a place where we can learn, listen, learn, love, and lead. Margot, thank you for your impact on my life. It's been huge this summer. My story goes like this, students. After the car accident, I found out the man was 5 feet in my lane. He had ruined my life. Daddy getting out to be able to do ball with the boys, which I love, is almost impossible. If I throw a ball 20 times, the pain's so severe, my wife sees me. I'll do it. The boys don't know it necessarily, but it's excruciating. I'll go try to shoot a few baskets, and it's excruciatingly painful because I had a blood clot in the base of my brain, and that cyst fills up with fluid, and then my arms don't work and my legs don't work. That person did me wrong. They ruined my life. And I will never forget the day that I was driving down I-69 after having the fifth surgery and the Lord saying to me, will you forgive them? Will you forgive them? If you're in a wheelchair the rest of your life, which I was at that time, will you forgive them? And I said, yes, Lord. And the tears flowed as the Holy Spirit cleansed my heart. And since that time, I have never once looked back with hate or disdain. God is big enough to do this for us in this generation. He can help us to work together. Let me give you a few scriptures to make this biblical, students. I want you to remember some key points from Acts 10 and 11, and I'll give you those scriptures. First of all, remember that no issue in our society is more important than the kingdom of God. Acts 10:36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. There is nothing that's more important than the kingdom of God. The phrases around that would support what I've given to you. Secondly, our purpose in life is the worship of God and the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of peace. We cannot get involved in all the little issues or big issues of the day except to bring solutions of peace to them. That's what's scriptural. Our purpose is to be involved in the worship of God and the preaching of gospel, Acts 10, 37 through 43. I will not read all of that. Number three, God's work is more important. The whole chapter 11 is more important than your opinions or your prejudices. God's work's more important. Now listen to these go deep scriptures. Philippians 2, 3, do nothing for self or empty conceit. Romans 12, 10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another. If you're tearing down each other, how can you honor them? Let us, Galatians 5, 26, don't let us be conceited, envying each other. Ephesians 5, 21, submit to each other in love. Submit to each other in love. Out of the reverence of Christ. Philippians 1, 17, The former preached Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they could stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. Colossians 3, 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. You can't be causing trouble for each other or for our world if you have those characteristics. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. A friend of mine, Reverend Matt Ellison, recently cautioned, let's not fall into the Satan's trap of division that would cause us to believe that our social status, our educational attainment, our dollars that we have, our race, anything makes us better than one another. We are all God's children, and we must understand that we do not think more highly of ourselves than any other person. In light of our current social unrest, it's important to show respect for each other. After being appointed to the Board of Education, I want to give you an example. I participated in a hearing regarding discrimination against homosexuals in the workplace. Being a minister and being a Christian college president, I strongly believe that the Bible condemns homosexuality and lesbianism and transgenderism and the things of today. That is scriptural. You need to understand that. It's not Dr. Smith's viewpoint. It's a biblical viewpoint. When I walked in the room, everyone watched Dr. Smith. And I sat for 2 hours and listened to the discrimination case with a smile on my face and was respectful through the whole event. And later it was said of me, wow, you showed Christ in that time. If I had caused a scene and tried to disrupt and tried to destroy, I would have not been Christ-like. Even though I opposed the sin of the day, as in the individual in that room, I needed to show love and respect to them. Friends, you will never win a lost world to Jesus Christ if you do not show the love of Christ and serve one another. So let me conclude with this. Listen, learn, love, and lead. We listen to each other. We learn from each other. We all have different backgrounds. We love each other, and we lead together. Things to remember from this passage and from Dr. Margo's book. So some of this is from her, some from the scripture, but they're both in alignment. CIU students, if you don't have fire and passion as college students right now, you're destined for a life of mediocrity. But let me say this to you. If you burn all the bridges you need to cross before you get to have impact, you will also have a life of mediocrity. Life is about building relationships with each other. And I challenge us to go deep with God, and I challenge us to go deep with each other, to have kingdom values. Relax. Have fun. Learn to laugh. Learn to share with each other. Learn to serve one another. Be as the Jews and Gentiles. When Peter saw what was happening, he said, "Oh my, we baptized them. The Gentiles have what we have. God has done a work." And this passage so beautifully shows that. Build strong relationships this year. Secondly, learn to communicate and watch your words. Reverend Margot Williams says in her book that bad communication is the easiest way to offend. And that lack of self-control by the tongue creates wounds. We cannot dwell on the offenses. We must let them go. A quote from her. Friends, we are kingdom people. One of the greatest signs of maturity is learning to debate intelligently and showing Christ-likeness with each other. The world thrives on disruption and division. God wants us to be a people of peace who unite. CIU, my dream is this for this year, that you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm counting on you to go deep with God and in relationships. Why does this matter? Because the Gentile nation is waiting to hear the gospel. This year, I'm asking you to not be involved in theological extremes and get into debates that will take you off course. But remember, we have a theme of evangelical unity that we at this school embrace. And as Dr. Robertson McQuilkin eloquently reminds us, it's easier to go to a consistent extreme than to stay at the center of biblical tension. May God help us to understand this truth. Students, this year is an election year. Some of you will vote for Joe Biden. Some of you will vote for Donald Trump. I've been in college long enough to know that we'll have Democrats and we'll have Republicans. Let me say something to you. This college is a place where we can debate issues as Christians and love each other and understand that neither side is right all the time. Neither side is wrong all the time. Listen to a 54-year-old man who has voted for Democrats and Republicans. Understand this, that the issues of the day are nearly not as important as you think they are, and that your friendships are so much more important, and your love of each other are so much more important. So I don't see any reason at all for us to go to extremes, but I could see us debating back and forth and learning from each other and saying, how does that principle apply to the Bible? And what do we see? And even there are views on immigration that some take from the Bible that are totally opposite than the views others take from the Bible. The Bible, you're still going to have interpretations from folks. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to forget what's going on in the world out there that's trying to divide us and come together and love each other. And when we see sin, we denounce it. When we see racism, we denounce it. When we see struggle, we come alongside and support. CIU this year and James McCall, I've asked him to lead us in a predominantly African-American community. I said, there are two or three goals, James, I have. And Coach Stockman, thank you for helping lead this. And the Education Department, thank you for helping lead this. We live in a place where predominantly reading scholars are some of the worst in the whole state of South Carolina. I want CIU to take it on as your mantra, students, to absolutely come alongside and help our reading scores for our students in this area around this college to be raised to the top scores in the land, because CIU was serving and loving. Secondly, we have a lot of poverty right now. You want to know how to combat all that's going on right now with the social ills? Start serving and loving. I've said to Andre, give me 15, 20 huge projects where we can go and just love our neighbors. I've said to James McCall, give us a great, great work together. I've said to Trey, I think it's you in the mask down there, Trey, is that right? Okay. I've said to Trey, now you have to understand something. Trey and I love to debate politics. We just have a great friendship about doing that. He looks at issues one way, I look at them another. We text back and forth. We laugh with each other. Isn't it fun, Trey, what we're doing? But you can do that when you love each other. And I'm asking CIU to live together and listen to each other. Learn from each other, to love each other, and to lead. And let me tell you what happened in the book of Acts. When Peter said, okay, the Gentiles were okay, it's not just a Jewish thing, listen to what happened. The Holy Spirit was poured out, Acts 10:44. Believers were baptized, Acts 10:48. God granted salvation to the Gentiles, Acts 11:48. God brought teaching and encouragement from Barnabas in Acts 11:25. And listen to what happened in Acts 11:27 through 30. The church brought relief to a famine that was going to occur because they loved each other. Students, let's love each other. Don't say an unkind word. Come alongside that one that's hurting. And give them the love of Jesus Christ. If we have our walk with Christ correct and our work with others correct, the world will notice CIU. Will you join me and go deep this year? Let's stand together.
Rams, we're getting ready to go. As we do, let me just remind you about the shofar. It's three things. It can be a blast of warning, and you need to be warned that the enemy's not pleased with what he's heard this morning, hearing of students committing their lives to Christ, rededicating themselves, a president who challenges us to love one another and be unified instead of divisive. He's not pleased. So be warned, the enemy is not pleased. The shofar also signifies the battle cry. And we are going into battle, and an academic battle, spiritual battle. The professors are going to come alongside you and help you, but there's going to be a lot of battling this semester to do the very best that we can. And the shofar announces the battle cry. But the shofar also announces the victory cry as well. As we commit this semester to the Lord, remember, the outcome is not in doubt. Jesus paid it at the cross. He's got this, so therefore we follow him. Let's have our benediction.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful as faculty and staff and students to be a part of Columbia International University. We thank you for the blessing of being here on this campus during this time. We pray for your protection. We pray for your wisdom. And we ask for your blessings upon each and every one. As we leave here today, may you be our focus. Thank you for the great message that Dr. Smith has brought to us to go deep. And may that not just be the mantra of an entire campus, but may it be the mantra of each of us individually. And may everything that we seek to do, may it be to glorify your Son, Jesus Christ, for it's in his name that we pray these things. And everybody said, amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.